Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Wendell Potter, who is the author of Deadly Spin, an insurance company insider speaks out on how corporate PR is killing healthcare and deceiving America. After a long career in the for-profit health industry as a chief corporate spokesperson at Cigna Corporation and as head of corporate communications at Humana Inc., he is now a senior analyst on healthcare at the Center for Public Integrity. His new book just out is Obamacare, What's in It for Me? What Everyone Needs to Know About the Affordable Care Act. Welcome to Background Briefing, Wendell Potter.
Thank you, Ian.
And your new book, of course, is obviously very needed. As somebody that's worked both in the insurance world and then in as one of the more valuable insiders in terms of public policy and giving the public information about what's going on in terms of their activities and their power and influence on Capitol Hill. What's your sense of where things stand with the Affordable Care Act since it took such a hit from the initial rollout that was so badly botched?
Well, it's recovering, I think, fairly well, although I don't think the public understands that. There is a lag between, I think, what is the reality and what the public thinks about the Affordable Care Act. The administration has made great strides in fixing the problems associated with the website that people who need to buy coverage on their own need to use or should use to get coverage for next year. Now, as we all know, the problems were very significant because people just simply could not get online. There were a lot of problems associated with that, but they've been fixed to a large extent. I've been getting emails from a lot of people who've been telling me that they have gotten through. They've just been very pleasantly surprised that they're able to get coverage at much less than what they've been paying in the past, and so it's much improved.
So we know from day one that there's been an absolutely blitz of negative publicity about it, and the White House from the very beginning never really sold it, I think, very effectively. So the advantage has always been on the side of the naysayers, how many times has the House tried to repeal it? I mean, it's become a joke. But clearly, the botched rollout was an incredible gift to them, right? That has altered the public perception. So you're already, have an uphill job, do you not? To get back to the waters that were pretty muddy before the rollout, right?
Yeah, it's you're exactly right, and it's going to be a really difficult thing for the administration to do in terms of explaining. And the sad thing is that the administration never did have the initiative, never did have the advantage or the of playing offense, if you will. And that baffled me from the very beginning. They have seemed to have been pretty inept in terms of explaining what's in the law. And frankly, that's why I wrote the e-book that I wrote, because I just kept seeing that it was not being done. And I'm not by any way associated with the administration or the Democrats in Congress, but I just saw something that was not hadn't been done. It's just a mystery to me why they haven't been able to develop a communication strategy. Now, that said, it's very much easier to condemn something with a soundbite than it is to explain something that is complex as the Affordable Care Act is.
So what's this deadline about then in terms of penalties? I mean, what's at stake here on January the 1st because of this, what they've lost at least a month or more because of the inability to people to get to log on, et cetera?
Right. Well, first of all, it's important to keep in mind that the vast majority of people won't be affected by the rollout of the website or the penalties, because most people who have private insurance in this country get it through their workplace. And so they are they don't really need to know a whole lot about the website. They do need to know about the Affordable Care Act, because there are things in the Affordable Care Act that provides them a lot of protections they haven't had in the past. But in terms of the penalty, they don't need to worry about that. The website is for those people who just simply cannot get coverage for whatever reason through their jobs. And a lot of companies, small companies in particular, don't offer benefits anymore. And some people in the past have just been if they're self-employed, have been unable to buy coverage because of expense, or they've been blackballed because of the practices of the insurance industry, the industry I used to work for. So it is those people. We have about 50 million Americans who don't have insurance, and it is those people who stand to gain the most from going to the website, or the websites, plural, because a lot of the states, including California, are operating their own exchanges or marketplaces. And so those are the people who are most impacted by this deadline. They have to sign up by or enroll in a plan by December the 23rd to be in a plan that takes effect on January the 1st. Now, they don't have to, if that's not something that is all that important to them, or if they miss that deadline, they have until March to sign up for coverage before having to pay a penalty for not having insurance.
Again, I'm speaking with Wendell Potter, the author of Deadly Spin, an insurance company insider speaks out on how corporate PR is killing healthcare and deceiving Americans. After a long career in the for-profit health industry as the chief corporate spokesman at Cigna Corporation and as head of corporate communications at Humana, Inc., he is now a senior analyst on healthcare at the Center for Public Integrity. His new book just out is Obamacare, What's in It for Me? What Everyone Needs to Know About the Affordable Care Act. So I don't know, Wendell, whether you read the piece recently in the Washington Post where they did a very good forensic examination of all that went wrong with the launch of Obamacare. Quite a lot of stuff about internal meetings at the White House and meetings with the woman that you've mentioned several times who's a key insurance company person, their main lobbyist on Capitol Hill, Karen Ignati. Is that her name?
Karen Ignati, that's correct.
Yes. And it seems that as a former insurance company insider, are the insurance companies who stand to make out really well out of Obamacare, are they on board or not? They've seemed to be sort of wavering a little bit there for a while.
They've always had a bifurcated approach to communications about the Affordable Care Act. Yes, many of them do stand to gain significantly and financially from the Affordable Care Act because many people who have not been able to get coverage in the past will finally be able to afford it because of the subsidies and tax credits that are available to low and middle income people.
So in other words, they get a huge number of new customers that they otherwise wouldn't have had.
Exactly. And so this will represent billions of dollars in new revenue for the insurance companies. What they don't like, though, are the consumer protections in the law. And there are many. And a lot of folks don't realize how many there are in there, but they really protect us from the abuses of the industry that that I'm very familiar with and that have been a part of our healthcare system for many, many years. They're going to go away. Those abuses will, and many of them will, on January the 1st. Insurance companies don't like that because they've used those abuses to enhance their profits in the past. So on the one hand, yes, they like the new revenue that they're going to be getting, which they will turn into profits, but they don't want to give up a single penny of that. They're not very focused on the people that they serve. The for-profit companies in particular, their single focus is on making profits.
And a lot of that's driven by Wall Street, right? I mean, I think President Obama quoted you on that, did he not?
He did. He absolutely did, because our health insurance system is dominated now by big, large for-profit corporations, two of which I used to work for, as you've noted. And they are publicly traded on the New York Stock Exchange. So Wall Street has a big say into how insurance companies operate. And they are focused exclusively on making money. They're not too happy with the Affordable Care Act. The investors aren't because of, again, the consumer protections, which will have the effect of shrinking profit margins a little bit. And that doesn't sit well with Wall Street financial analysts and some of the big investors.
And just briefly walk us through some of the advantages that because I assume that in 2014, which is coming up soon, an election year, Obamacare is going to be the big political issue, right? The Republicans have been running against it since day one, and right. Presumably they'll ramp up their efforts. And the Democrats, who have been ambivalent and somewhat cowardly about supporting it, and they were absolutely in a panic when the website botched launch of the website. So tell me, what's your sense then of where the where the arguments are to, in support of it, and how, given that they haven't really made a full-throated defense of it, what is the defense of Obamacare?
Well, some of the most important consumer protections, which, as you noted, will go into effect on January the 1st of 2014, insurance companies can no longer blackball us because of pre-existing conditions. And as we get older, almost all of us have pre-existing conditions. They have in the past refused to sell coverage to a lot of people, millions of people, because they've had pre-existing conditions. And if they've been willing to sell coverage to them, they've done so or been willing to do so at a price that many people just simply cannot afford. So going forward, not only will insurance companies no longer be able to blackball people, but they cannot use someone's health status or health history setting rates, which is a very important thing. They can no longer charge older people more than three times as much as younger people. In other words, they can't charge them any more than three times. In the past, a lot of people who are, as they get into their 40s and 50s and 60s before Medicare, just simply can't afford coverage because insurance companies charge them so much more than they do young people, sometimes 10 times as much, if not more. So that changes. And another big protection is that for people who are on Medicare, it improves the benefits. They can now get coverage for preventive care, and they can they're seeing that this dreaded so-called donut hole in the Medicare drug benefit is beginning to close, so people don't have to pay nearly as much money out of their own pocket for medications. And also at the younger end of the spectrum, people who are in their 20s can stay on their parents' policies until they're 26. And that's a very big advantage, in particular for young people. So those are just some of the more prominent ones.
And in terms of the Republican governors, because these are state exchanges that are being set up here, how detrimental is it to the overall Affordable Care Act that some of these states? I mean, some of them are very reluctant, and you've got examples like here in California where they're doing incredibly well, and the site works really well, and people are very happy with it. But a lot of the southern governors have been quite outspoken in their opposition to it. And I'm wondering what the connection then to the southern governors denying Medicaid to the Affordable Care Act, because that's always been hard to understand why they would deny Medicaid benefits to the poor in their states when it's no skin off their nose. And I'm wondering what strategy on their part is operating here, because many of them seem obsessed, as many Republicans are, with killing Obamacare.
It's a political strategy, Ian. It has very little to do with doing what is in the best interest of their constituents, which is a sad thing to say. And as you noted, from the very beginning of the debate on health care reform, the Republicans decided that they would use this in some way to their advantage if they possibly could. They began by calling it something it truly was not. They called it a government takeover of health care even before the first word of legislation was written. But they thought that would work for them, and in many cases it has. They were able to take back the House in 2010. So they've used that messaging, and messaging that, quite frankly, in many cases is not at all true, but people have been willing to believe them. And that's what is still going on. Now, the problem is that a lot of those Republican governors and legislatures in the states that are not expanding the Medicaid program will be, not only will the people be penalized, but so will the taxpayers in those states, even those who are not eligible for Medicaid, because of changes in the way that hospitals are going to be reimbursed in the future. I think we'll probably start seeing some hospitals close in those states that are not expanding their Medicaid program. So not only will some individuals suffer as a consequence, but some of the businesses will as well, too. It's regrettable. So I think that after 2014, we'll see just about every one of those states come into the fold and expand Medicaid just because it makes sense economically for them to do so.
But if they have so much invested in torpedoing Obamacare, and they got this gift of the botched rollout, can they at a state level you know, people like Governor Perry in Texas. What can they do to sabotage the Affordable Care Act?
Well, keep in mind, again, it's a political strategy on their part. What they see the Affordable Care Act as something that they can campaign against in 2014. They know that they've got probably one more year that they can do this, and so they will continue in many cases to mislead people. There will be some changes that people will see, even those who get coverage in the workplace. People will be led to believe that premium increases that they'll be seeing in their own coverage, even if they get the coverage to the workplace, they will be told that those premium increases are a result of Obamacare. It's not true, but people have very short memories. I know for a fact, from having spent 20 years in the insurance industry, that a year has not gone by that people did not get increases in their premiums just because the insurance industry was able to increase those premiums, and they will continue to do that. But, and they'll blame it on Obamacare now. So that's going to be their strategy, is to point the finger of blame at the Affordable Care Act for things that have nothing to do with the Affordable Care Act, but people will believe it. So they see this as a way to win votes, and to, you know, their political strategy is to hold on as many governorships as they can and to take back the Senate if they possibly can. It's a political strategy for them.
So just in the last 30 seconds then, by November of next year, when people are voting, will Obamacare be working sufficiently well for people to be in favor of it?
It will be. Between now and November, it's going to be a battle of perception. And can the Democrats, can the administration really explain this law and in ways that people can truly understand? Or will they, as they have done in the past, just kind of let the opposition control the rhetoric and the media coverage? It's going to be interesting to see.
Well, Wendell Potter, I thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Ian.
Again, I've been speaking with Wendell Potter, who is the author of Deadly Spin, an insurance company insider, speaks out on how corporate PR is killing healthcare and deceiving Americans. After a long career in the for-profit health industry as a chief corporate spokesman at Cigna Corporation and as head of corporate communications at Humana, Inc., he is now a senior analyst on healthcare at the Center for Public Integrity. And his new book just out is Obamacare, What's in It for Me? What Everyone Needs to Know About the Affordable Care Act. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back talking about how the IRS has not clarified campaign finance rules that allow billionaires to spend political money without attribution in the name of charity.